We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. All right. Got this cold going down, so I'm going to try to not get too worked up tonight. Yeah, I don't know what it is. This cold, the hot, the cold, the hot, the cold, the hot. It's just not doing good. And when I was young, I used to never get sick. My entire life growing up, didn't take sick days, didn't take days off of school. I was healthy as a horse all the time. It doesn't matter what you threw at me. But man, lately, I don't know what it is. It's just part of getting old. Getting old. But part of getting old, too, is a little bit wiser. So it might be a trade-off if you got to take a day or two to get well. I totally get that. You know, Sunday's our day that we would normally hook up with our friend Drex. He's getting well too. He's got the next couple of weeks off to get some health days, I guess you would say. And hopefully we get to talk to him in a few weeks and we wish him well in that endeavor. You know, the Cardinals on Friday and Saturday played two games at Busch Stadium. I kept looking at the updates online. Like Michael Calhoun, for example, on Twitter kept pointing out that, is there anyone inside the stadium right now? There's so many people outside the stadium. If you went to the games this weekend, you may have a cold yourself, the way those temperatures were. Yikes, cold. And there is baseball tonight, even though that the Cardinals are off. They're going to be in Washington tomorrow. The Yankees and the Astros are playing game two of the ALCS. Yankees are up in the series, one game to nothing. And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. CBS gave it to you at the top of the hour, so there's nothing I'm spoiling if you heard that. But right now it's tied 2-2 at the top of the 10th, so we'll see how that one plays out. Perhaps the Astros, being the home team there, would be able to get something done. And it's kind of fun to watch live sports this late at night. You know, it's 11:08 p.m. in St. Louis, Missouri, and there's still live sports going on. It is pretty cool. So the Cardinals play Game 3 Monday, 6:30 here St. Louis time, but they're in Washington. Tuesday, 7 o'clock St. Louis time. Wednesday, 3 o'clock St. Louis time. If that's they make it to Game 5. I got to say, it was frustrating to watch this team. You know, this is what you don't understand. You know, they had a couple of games in a row. You know, they take Game 1, then they drop Games 2 and 3. What? Why? And you watch these things and you think, why can't this team hit? Why can't this team hit? This team can hit. They have the ability to hit. Why aren't they hitting? Why can't they put the runs up? And you even had that gem from Waino in the first series against the Atlanta Braves, and it was squandered. And you look at that and you scratch your head and you say, man, you know, he shouldn't be pitching like this, but he is, and he's given it his all, and these pitchers are doing really outstanding work on the mound. And the Cardinals go up there and they can't do squat. And on the offense-wise, it's so frustrating because you know they could do it. You know they can do it. Have you been watching these last games, or have you been in the stadium any of these last couple of games? What was it like inside the stadium watching the Cardinals one after another go up, swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss, out, swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss, out? That's what we've seen. It's so, so frustrating. So game three tomorrow, what a big one for them in Washington. There's a couple of clips, maybe I'll play them, but, you know, Yadi's there saying we got to figure out what we're going to do and what we're going to change up. You know, they got to do something. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just being on the road will help them a little bit. Here's the phone number here at 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And there was one other story I was going to ask you about, and it has to do with one of the pitchers over on the Washington Nationals. One of them had a baby, and there was some question, will this relief pitcher go and be at the birth of his child, or will they be on the mound? And there, you know, there's some commentaries out there that said it really wasn't a question to begin with. When you have such high stakes games and you're a sports player, and really this is the most important time for you to perform, it's tough. I totally get that. It's only in some professions that you would expect them to do something like this. You know, for example, if my wife was expecting and we were getting close to the due date, I would not hesitate to take any time off. It's not like I'd have to be in here to do everything and every night. I wouldn't hesitate. Now, if you're a professional sports player and it's your team and there's a lot of weight and a lot of pressure on you, some people wonder, do you miss that moment? Well, did he? If you don't know this story, I'll give you the answer coming up too. But, you know, we can talk Cardinals too. Give me some Cardinals talk. With the team down right now, what's your level of faith that they could tie this thing up? What's your level of faith? 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. News on the Loop Trolley this weekend. I'm looking forward to bringing that to you next hour. Since it'll be after midnight, we're on Columbus Day already. Stan Freberg presents the United States of America, the Columbus Discovers America edition. This is a fun one if you don't remember that. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Turns out a lot of people have colds this weekend. They go on social media to bellyache about getting a cold, and I'm almost certain it has to do with the changes of temperature up and down, just throwing the body upside down. So I bellyache about that on social media, and it turns out I am not alone. You may be there too. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let me go to Juan first in St. Louis. Hi.
Hi there. Good evening. So nice to be back with you again.
Sure. Good to have you back.
Yeah, it's really nice. The Cardinals will do well, I think. I we have a lot of faith here in St. Louis. So I think Schulte has been doing a great job with the lineup and, great job. We've got the pitching, but, you know, the hang-up, again, is our hitting. And I think once these guys, Ozuna, Goldie, of course, Yachty is always going to be there. Coden Wong is going to always be there with the base hits and so forth. I think, I'm a little bit worried about Carp sometimes because he's not been swinging the bat as good as
last year.
Woof,
man, if we had a Carpenter like he played last year. Now, we're not in a good spot. And if you think about it, this is the worst spot to be. 2-0 after the first two at home. So you say you still have faith.
I'm still going to go with him, yeah.
Wow.
I still
That's
am going to go with it. If not, I'm going to cry. But
yeah, I get that. And the whole idea of bringing Goldschmidt in was that he was this postseason hitter. He can go out there and get this job done, prolific at it. And what's going on, man? You know, up and down and up and down. This is a killer.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we need to get – I think Goldie, I thought he was going to be a much better home run hitter than he is now.
Yeah, and he had a couple of good ones in the Atlanta series. Now, you think about when we had our backs up against the wall, he hit that double that set up Molina and he ran it in. So, yes, he had it. But, man, these first two games, it's hard to watch. If they put up another one like this for Game 3 – It's going to be so frustrating. I don't think I can handle it. All right, Juan, good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in.
God bless. Thank you.
God bless. Let me go to Margaret in St. Louis. Hi, Margaret.
Oh, hey. Are you there?
Yes.
All right. Well, here's the thing. We're facing really good pitchers. Mm-hmm. They have been great. Every single pitcher has been great. So we can't get on to our offense. We can't get down on them just because they're not hitting.
Yeah.
They're good pitches.
Mm-hmm.
They're good pitches.
Yeah.
So, the people who were being productive before, as the last caller said, Ozuna, Goldschmidt, they have 500 batting averages in the postseason.
Yeah.
Well, they don't now. Sorry.
Okay.
Because this is postseason baseball.
All right. Who's up on the mound for the Washington Nationals tomorrow? Do you know? I'm going to have to find out. I want to see what his stats are. Because if they're throwing their two best at us right off the top, I want to see what number three looks like. Yeah, they got strong arms. We knew this. But at the same time, we know we can hit. We know we got to get at least something on base. It's not like we were stranding runners. We were doing nothing. It was so hard to watch. And we almost had the longest stretch of no men on base. We almost set an MLB record. I think we tied it It was terrible.
Well, you know, we love to look at records, you know, but if we look at what we did all season long, we went 2-3 games with no people on, just homers. We just decided, oh, we're just going to hit it over the field. That's the only way we're going to make a run. Okay. We never played small ball. We never made base hits. We never made, you know, any hits. Mm. We didn't make hits. We've got a weird lineup that sometimes they'll produce and sometimes they won't.
What's your level of faith right now?
My level of faith is strange, but I would love for a Cardinals-Yankees rematch from 1964.
Hmm. Wouldn't that be something? All
right. Wouldn't it?
Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you.
Now, Margaret makes some points there saying that, hey, you're up against some of the best pitchers in all of baseball, two in a row. Don't be so hard on the hitters. She might be the only one that feels that right now. Let me go to Bob in Imperial. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Ryan. Cardinals are done.
Mm, that's hard to hear. Why do you say that?
You know, well, here it is. They swing at the worst pitches. And the pitch, you know, the team know that. And they're not going to give them anything a hit. Like here's Carpenter. First pitch, right down the middle of the plate. Everybody lets the first pitch go but Molina. Mm-hmm. And the other team knows that. So the first pitch is always a strike to get ahead of the hitter. That's strike one. Strike two is they'll follow it off every single time. So now they're up two strikes and nothing. So the pitcher will throw the ball outside and low, and the Cardinals will swing at it every single time.
Well, let me guess what was happening in your house. There was a lot of screaming when that would happen.
Oh, my gosh.
Were you close to throwing the remote through the TV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They swing at so many bad pitches, it goes into the dirt.
Oh, yeah.
And the catcher's looking for the ball and before he throws it away. It's horrible. And you know, the theory about the good pitches, first of all, the first pitcher they threw against us, he wasn't all that good.
Mm-hmm.
That was their four-string pitcher.
Yeah. You give them no chance at this point? You feel like...
No chance. No chance.
What if it all changes? What if they start changing their philosophy for game three? We'll give you just a little bit of faith.
I doubt it. Mm. You know, when Carpenter's up the bat, everybody is on the left side of the infield. He's got the whole left side to lay down a bunt, and mm-hmm. he never does.
Yeah.
That's a man on. Anything can happen with a man on.
Yeah. All right, Bob, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, buddy.
Bye. All right, so Bob gives him no chance, no faith. It's going to take an awful lot for him to change his faith on that one. 436-7900 is the number here. You can call locally or text that line, or 800-925-1120. Jeff calling in to Overnate America. Hi.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening. I know it's not morning yet.
Yeah, I got a quick idea for the two parts of your show.
Yeah.
The early part of the show could be called Good Evening America, and then
I like
Good
it.
Evening. And then the late night part could be Good Night America.
I like it. Well, here's the problem with that. The problem with that is because when we start regularly at 8 o'clock. Which is going to be as soon as the baseball's over. The first 2 hours of the show replay after midnight. So if I say good evening overnight America type of deal, it's going to replay and it's going to say the wrong thing after midnight.
Could put a little disclaimer at the start of each one. Recording.
Disclaimer. I like the idea. And then I think eventually it's going to go back to the regular time. It just depends what's going to happen when the Cardinals start back up for spring training.
Mike, I got a couple things about the Cardinals.
Yeah.
First, if they win tomorrow night, I think they got a chance because they did win 4 in a row against the Cubs. So it is possible.
Anything's possible when you see them at the end of the year. Yeah.
But if they lose tomorrow night, then it's probably a sure bet. They're done if they lose tomorrow.
I got to check and see who's on the mound for tomorrow.
You were talking about people getting sick?
Yeah. Are you sick too?
Sniffles, a little scratchy throat, but nothing like probably what you've been hearing.
Yeah. It's been going around. I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't feeling so well right now.
But like I said, it's 50-50. It all depends if they win tomorrow. If they win tomorrow, then they got a shot. If they don't, then they're probably done.
Jack Flaherty versus Steven Strasburg. Man, these are two powerhouse pitchers. And I like our odds with Jack on the mound, but Steven Strasburg's so good. Oh, man. All right. This is tough. You know, if you think those first two are tough, you put in, you know, after Scherzer, you put a Strasburg in there. Man, this is not looking good.
All right. Good night.
Good night, Jeff. So here we are. You know, there was another story about one of the pitchers over on the Nationals. His name's Daniel Hudson. And his wife was due, expecting to have children. They tried and they wanted to maybe induce his wife during that off period between the end of the Dodgers series and before they pick up the Cardinals series. Well, it doesn't really work like that. As many of you have gone through this process before, you can schedule anything, but it doesn't mean anything will just go. You know, without giving too many details, I don't think my wife will be too upset if I share this, but, you know, we got at the point where we were going to induce, and we had a scheduled time, and then the hospital called us and said, well, actually, why don't you come in later? It was maybe 6 hours later than what we had scheduled, and then we showed up, and we had to wait a little bit longer, and the reason for that is because they take in women that are going into labor right then and there first before they induce. So we got there, and then we had to wait even longer, and then finally our window opened, and then even after the induction, that doesn't sound right, after even being induced, it still took a little bit of time. So I think he ran into this situation where they tried to schedule this thing in that very narrow window, and it didn't work. So then he was confronted with the question, as a relief pitcher, Daniel Hudson, someone that is in need, game one of the NLCS, what will happen? Will he take the day off, the night off, to be at the birth of his child, or will he be on the mound? And the answer is, he went to go be with the birth of his child. Now, the part of the commentary I'm looking at in the Washington Post is talking about there wasn't really an option at all. You have to be there with your wife. I got to be honest, when you are in a situation like this, and it's like a high pressure, high situation, there's two ways to look at it. One, I wouldn't blame him if he wanted to be on the mound and said, you know, I got to be there for this. It's just, I wish it would have worked out. I wish I could have been there for it. But, you know, this is the demand that's there. I wouldn't blame him if he was on the mound. The other way to look at it is he would be so preoccupied. Not everyone could act like Brett Favre. You remember when, I think it was his father passed and he decided to play that Monday Night Football game and he was just phenomenal. Not everyone could do that. I mean, it's a tough thing to do. Maybe that could be part of the distraction, but then again, your mind's preoccupied and then you might not be as effective as you need to be in a situation like that than if they were to sub in someone else. So the whole piece of this is the whole miracle of life thing can't be coordinated. You plan something and then everything goes crazy. Well, turns out, you know, they didn't need him. They still won game one, and then game two, he came back anyway. He said, I went from not having a job on March 21st to this huge national conversation of family values going into the playoffs. So I could ask this. Would you have blamed him if he would have pitched that game? I wouldn't have blamed him. I think it would be fine if he wanted to pitch. It would have been up to him. You know, part of this whole commentary and discussion is that's like an old school way of thinking, that you're not there. Now, all things considered, there's no way that this radio show, I would be gone. Like, you know, this is a whole different thing. This isn't playoff baseball. This isn't playoff hockey, playoff football, or whatever it is. This isn't you don't have time to make up for it, and your skill is needed at this point. It's not like something like that. I mean, I'm not in that situation, and I'm sure things change when you are. I would have zero hesitation to take off and be for the birth. Like, there'd be no question. Yeah, I'd walk out the door halfway through the show if I had to. But I'm not like this. It's not like it's a you can't make this up type of deal, you know, with the playoffs or baseball. Like, let's say what this was game seven. What if it was game five going back to the Dodgers series? You know, probably a lot less pressure on game one. So would you have blamed him if he would have stayed on the mound, or do you applaud the fact that he went to go be with his wife for the birth of their child? 436-7900. You can call or text that line up front, or 800-925-1120. We'll take some of your calls coming up. on Overnight America KMOX. Keep looking up this Steven Strasburg dude. Now, I remember he's been around for a while. He was that phenom, but he had some health issues, if I remember correctly. But 2019, this past season, he had 251 strikeouts, an 18-6 record for the Washington Nationals. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right, Cardinals. Now it's time to show everyone what you got. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let me get to Beth. Now, you're not actually in Texas, are you? Are you still visiting friends?
Yes. No. I made it to Texas this morning, and it is just as cold here as it is in St. Louis.
No way. Really? What's the temperature
there? We had a cold front come through. So it was kind of nice, but I was so glad to get out of Montana. It was freezing.
Oh, it was so beautiful, though.
Oh, it was pretty, but I wasn't really prepared clothing-wise.
Hold on. I just looked up your temp. You're 64 degrees right now. We are not in the same arena. We're in the 40s. You're in the mid-60s.
But for us, you know, that's cold.
Okay, yes.
I wore a sweater this afternoon. it's going to go down into the 40s tonight because they said that tomorrow, when kids are getting ready for school, it'll be 45.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so that's cold. Pretty good.
Okay.
You're getting sick all the time because you have a small child.
Oh, that could easily be a part of it. Yeah, he's a little under the weather, too, so I'm sure he got it from somewhere.
That's it. Mr. Hudson, the pitcher
for the Nationals.
Washington team, he went home for the birth of his third child.
Oh, that was his third kid. Child. You know, they don't say that in the commentary. They don't mention that part.
No, they don't. He went home. He had been home. They live in Arizona. He had been in Arizona after the Dodger game or whatever game they won.
Yeah.
And he stayed there and stayed one extra day because the child was born on the day that y'all did the first game.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about the Cardinals and the Astros.
Well, you're worried both.
Worried about
well, because you're keeping an eye on them, and that's your home team, isn't it?
No, I actually turned it off.
Why?
Because I could not take the... And then we got it to 2-2, and I just don't want to know because my Texans nearly gave me a heart attack today. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys, I almost cried because they were losing again.
Wow, you really pay attention. You have eight TVs going at your house?
I just went from channel to channel.
Yeah.
But see, the quarterback for the Chiefs is from a town that's about 20 miles north of me.
Oh, how about that? Mahomes?
So I watch, Mr. Holmes, I watch him when he plays. And I do like the Texans, but I like the Cowboys. So, but it was not a good time to be in my house this afternoon.
Oh, man. Well, Beth, I want to go back to this, the Daniel Hudson, who had the birth of his third child and wanted to figure out how to fly and do this. Third child. This is what they try to do. They try to shame anyone that says, he probably could have pitched that. They try to shame anyone that's saying, oh, you're anti-family for thinking that.
But he's a relief pitcher. He's a relief pitcher. He's not the only one he was the best one they had.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the only one they had. And that Strasburg guy from tomorrow, this is the first time he's actually made it through the entire season.
I know, it is.
Because they've always shut him down before the end, like the last month, because he gets hurt.
Yeah, easily.
So he's never pitched this long.
Yeah, his career started hurt. I remember they were so bummed he was supposed to be this phenom that they bring in for some. Beth, it's fun to listen to you talk sports. It's amazing how much you remember. remember back in the day when husbands weren't even allowed inside of the delivery room.
No. Well, yes, I do remember that. But you have to understand that I grew up with a father who thought this is just as important for girls to know all the sports as it was for the boys. I can play them, but I can dissect a play just as well as my brothers could.
Wait, so your dad, would he have you read box scores to him out of the paper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Read box scores to him out of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I went to all the football games, the college and the high school, and occasionally a pro game with him, with my brothers. I had one brother who was totally disinterested in sports.
Yeah.
We went to the local college my father worked for, and they had the metal bleachers. And my little brother went with some friends of his, and they would play, you know, usually on the practice fields during the game, and then he would come back when the game was over with. This one time, they disappeared. My dad didn't worry about it because, you know, he and the rest of the professors were talking. And one of the college cops came and got my dad and about four other guys who were professors. And they told my mom that just stay for the rest of the game. The guys were needed. Mm. So they took him off. And we lived two blocks away from the stadium. My father walked all these men and their sons and my little brother to our house, got the hose out and hosed down all these boys who had gotten underneath the football bleachers and were playing in lye.
That they
usually put on the field. We had the greenest yard for about 2 years there.
Oh, that's funny.
But those boys had to work to put all that lye back, and they were like 9, 10, 11, and they were white. They said from the tops of their heads to the bottom of their heads. And my dad was a purchasing agent for the college, and he said, "Do you know how much money you're costing me?"
Oh, that's funny, Beth. Hey, thank you. I'm glad you made it back to Texas safely.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Have a great night. You know, I love how Beth mentioned that her dad would have her read the box scores out of the paper. It's a great exercise between a dad and a child to read the box scores. Seems a little bit maybe out of date. People don't really read the box scores out of the paper anymore, but I guess you can bring it up on the smartphone. And there's a reason for it. I've heard people talk about this. Broadcasters would talk about this. They would read the box scores, and women would do this in particular, the daughters to their dads. And they love doing it. Well, the father, just like the bonding time, but the kids love the ability to make their parents get excited over the thought that, hey, they're going to be the keeper of knowledge. They're going to let you know if your team won, who scored, what happened here? What are the details? And then the kids started to become storytellers because of that. You just didn't want to go out there and say, oh, no, the Cardinals won 1-0. You know, that would be the end of the story. They would set it up. Here we go. Here's the first. This is what happened. Then they set up this, and it did this, and it did that. And it would get their parents so engaged in their storytelling, the kids were able to recognize that, and they ended up becoming storytellers for the rest of their lives. I know probably a lot of people listening here, you read box scores to your parents, right? I never did. My dad never cared for that. But I used to always look up first thing in the morning. I would try to, before the internet, I would try to hop on ESPN real quick. If I missed the Red Wing game, I'd try to stare at the bottom scroll because I know they're not talking about it on the TV. I did everything I could to try to find that thing. And eventually I'd get to school and someone would know the score or something like that. But I didn't get to stay up late every night. I would try to. I'd leave the radio on listening to it, just like many people here would do that for the Cardinals or the Blues. You leave the radio on all night. I had a little Sony Dream Machine. It was great. So you could turn it on. It'd stay on for an hour, and then it would shut itself off automatically. But if you're still awake, you just press the button again. It turns it back on for an hour. I don't know how many people went to bed that way. I'm going to guess a majority. I'm going to guess it's more than 50%. A majority of people that listen to sports have done that for at least a lot of their young life. This is Overnight America, KMOX. I saw this break over the weekend, and I couldn't wait to talk to you about it. It has to do with the Loop Trolley. Well, I did a whole segment or two on it last week, and I tried to preface it that it's been a couple of months since I've complained about the Loop Trolley. So let's take a look. Where are they at? Oh, they're way behind on revenue. So here's the latest, and it came out this weekend on KMOX.com. They're now asking for an extra $200,000 to keep the Loop Trolley running until the end of the year. And then they say in order to keep it running until the end of next year, 2020, they'll need another $500,000. $500,000 for next year. So now we're looking at about $700,000 needed in emergency funds, or the trolley will close up shop mid-November. Anyone surprised? Anyone shocked? Color me crazy here, but didn't we know all along that there's no way they're going to be able to hit their projections? And part of the problem that it took so long is that they had these loans and they had all this money and they had this and they had that and they had to start paying it back. And they anticipated, well, we only need this much for the first year and this much for the second year and this much for the third year. Well, when you keep pushing the deadlines and schedules back and it takes forever to get this thing running, and then you finally have a date in mind, and then what happens? Oh, we got technical issues. Ooh, can't do this. And then they hold off even longer. It's been a disappointment, to say the least. A lot of people are still optimistic and they want something like this to work. And, you know, to be honest, it's fun. I've wrote it. And I talked about how the couple of times I've attempted to ride it, three times I've attempted. First time, I waited out at the stop for an hour and it never showed up. 1 hour and it didn't show. I was so disappointed, so upset. My kid was so upset. So second time around, I had a friend from out of town. We just so happened to see the thing and we said, you know what? We got a lot of time to waste. Let's go hop on and see what happens. If we get stranded, no big deal because, you know, we got time to kill. So what happens? Well, we hop on the thing and hop off and hop on and hop off, and it was no problem. It was great. No, it was wonderful. And I thought, ooh, okay. So they're one for one now. We need a tiebreaker. It's a best of three series. I'm not doing a best of five with this thing, but it's a best of three series. And we get on for the third time. I said, oh, I'll finally take the kid. He's been wanting to go. So we hop on the trolley, and it was great for the destination, and then we hop back on it to get back to where our car is at the History Museum after spending some time there, and the thing breaks down. We are stuck on it for an hour, and at this point, it's like the middle of the summer. It's like 100 degrees outside. The trolley's not air-conditioned. All you got is the breeze that's coming through the open windows. My wife's a little upset, mostly because she's annoyed. She said, I knew this would happen, and she was looking at me. She's like, uh-huh, you knew this would happen. It's like, I rolled the dice. I was giving him another chance. Seems that my four-year-old didn't really mind all that much. He just liked the idea of being out and on the trolley. Enough, Mr. Rogers will do that to you. You know, too bad we couldn't have got Mr. Rogers to operate this thing and run this thing. I mean, if we would have had someone that looked at this less like a hobby and more like a business, then maybe. Because from the very start, if you were looking at this like a businessman, you wouldn't have put your money into it. If you're looking at this like a, just the little trolley that could, if we were looking at it as a opportunity for doing something cool, you know, you got these federal funds, you got a federal grant, you end up spending these $25 million, was it, from federal grant, then you get some other grants and state, I think the state pitched in, what, locally $3 million we had. Now they're asking for more money. And here's where the realist needs to kick in. For anyone that has the opportunity to vote on this, from what I understand, it's on the docket for vote, the extra $700,000 on Tuesday. I don't think it has the support. I don't think they're going to get the extra funds. I think the trolley's going to go bye-bye. But this is where the realist in you has to kick in. For the longest time, you said, okay, I can throw in some money, and then the state will throw in some money, and the city, and we'll do this and that. And if you just keep coming back with your hands out, you know this thing's going to be a money pit. We're at the point where you're going to have to take the money away from something else. So if you say you need immediately $200,000, where's that money going to come from? What project are you going to cancel in order to fund that project? Let's say some of the different services you offer. We got some issues. You know, crime is certainly a problem in the region. Are you saying we should divert money from the well-needed funding that should go to police? Well, that's interesting. Well, no. Okay. What about, I don't know, we got mental health issues. We got chronic homelessness. We got beautification, which is a big problem too, mostly because these tracks and everything that went in there, not all that pretty. You took out a lot of what made that area charming. And you said, oh, this trolley's going to be super charming. Now you have to start thinking in the long run, how are you going to make that look nice again? Are you just going to leave these wires out? That looks ugly. So now you're thinking, okay, what are the odds this thing actually stays afloat? And how much money extra are we going to have to spend in the future in order to change this area once again from the mistake we just made? You got to consider that too. So $700,000 is nothing to sneeze at. Are we just going to not pay government employees to make up for it? I don't know. Are we just going to cancel any future projects that have been granted? Are we going to divert money from, I don't know, any of the Parks and Rec? So these are some very serious questions. Where is this money going to come from if you decide to vote it through? But I think it's a moot point at this juncture. It's going to go away. And it's kind of sad. You know, here's the thing. You want to see things like this, these projects succeed, because it's kind of cool. It's better to say your city has one of these than to say that they don't. But it's not worth $52 million in the hole plus an extra, you know, $500,000 a year in order to use and put up something that no one uses. Not worth it. So the Loop Trolley Company board president, John Mayer Jr., confirms that the amounts needed. His deadline is November 15th to keep this thing going. They're going to be cutting back some services. Will anyone notice? Probably not. Here's the full statement that you can read at KMOX.com. Fund to keep the trolley system operating for the remainder of 2019 and $500,000 for 2020. That's $700 total. While the idea of the Loop Trolley was ambitious and has not been without its challenges, it is here. The cars are refurbished and the track is ready. Well, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like these trolley cars are so hard to find. It sounds like they are in demand. You might be able to sell these things for a profit, right? They're already refurbished. Okay, so there are some things of value here to recoup some of the money, I guess. It says, well, the idea that the cars are refurbished and the track is ready. St. Louis is one of five cities to win funding for a streetcar. The Loop Trolley has yet to operate at its full potential as we're still waiting on a rollout of the third car to operate 7 days a week. Again, they're not going to magically, if you build it, they will come. It's not going to be a moment where you put in an extra trolley, then all of a sudden the crowds are just going to jump up and, boy, they're going to be there and full steam ahead. It's because the trolley goes to nowhere. You go from the edge of Forest Park at the History Museum over to the Del Mar Loop, back and forth and back and forth. That, you know, people aren't going to be entering Forest Park through that, so the people that are using it aren't doing that. Plus, Forest Park and that particular area with the History Museum closes early. I mean, was it 5 o'clock they closed the doors? Yeah. And then at that, think about the loop. It's only a 2-mile loop altogether. And then the Del Mar section of it's even shorter, and it just goes up and down. It's not like you can't walk from one place to another. Like, you're going to wait 45 minutes for one of these things to show up so you can go a half a mile down the road, or even a quarter mile, or even, I don't know, 500 yards down the road. It's not going to happen. It's not realistic. Though ambitious, it was dumb. You got to admit, it's ambitious doesn't play a factor when you're talking about tax dollars. And anyone in that area that pays tax dollars, I know those businesses are upset. They want to regain some of the lost real estate that was in front. They want to be able to get back to normal, and they want to stop with the headaches of all the traffic issues that are up there already. It was already terrible. So the Del Mar Loop, we hardly knew ye. Who knows, maybe one day in the future they'll revive this thing. I really do not foresee this $700,000 being approved. And if it does, won't that be a crazy night? Well, I can't imagine how many calls we'll get for that night. You can find that story at KMOX.com. You know, we're just a couple of minutes away from Columbus Day. I'm going to play for you one of the great Columbus Day tracks. And also author Dean Reuter is going to join us in the next hour. It's a encore interview that we had earlier this week on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.